Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On the big show today, the Warren Report with comedian Greg Warren. It's about potato chips. You'll hear that coming up right after this.
Upper off into the sky, jumping bones across gaping holes. There are devil dogs and yodels on the canyon floor, making waves. Atomic wedge speedo. He ain't afraid to say he's bringing Harry back. Heart attack. New friend. There's adrenaline running high. I got a rocket strapped to my side. Don't back away. Never play it safe. No, no, no. He ain't afraid to say. He's bringing Harry back. Heart attack. Libido.
Libido.
I said libido. I brought my helmet. Play it safe. No, no, no. He ain't afraid to say. He's bringing Harry back. Heart attack. Libido.
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 Hey, hey, hey. Libido.
Libido.
Libido. Libido Knievel, Scott Baio, sexual stuntman, at your service.
We're just waiting for the cast to actually show up for work. Here's more Bob and Tom Extra.
And here's Tom with our special, special presentation.
This looks like we have a dash cam shot. Oh, there we go. That's a little bit better. It's a comedian, Greg Warren, a man with gorgeous blue eyes. And this is called The Warren Report.
Hey, Greggy.
And behind him, he usually has a picture of someone named Warren. Is that...
Who is that?
Is that Diane
that's
Warren?
That's Diane Warren, I think.
The songwriter?
No, that's it's actually Jennifer Warnes.
Oh. Oh, yeah. She had a couple hits.
She had three.
Yes, Greg, but what did the New York Times say about her work? Because they say Olivia Rodrigo is just the unbelievable.
She had one of the best songs of the year last year.
The most amazing. Voice of a generation, Greg.
I crack open.
She had a couple of duets with Joe Cocker. Love Lift Us Up.
Yes, great song.
Yep.
Great song.
I Had the Time of My Life with Bill Medley. Yeah.
That was huge. Great song. Yep.
She does not look like she has the time of her life ever, but go ahead.
Looks a little frosty.
I don't know what you're saying. Jennifer Warren's a lot of fun. From
looks
what
like
I,
someone I could have been married to, actually. I don't know if I like that at all. Take that picture down.
But this is called the Warren Report.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to name it after something joyful, like the incredibly sad story of... But not Warren's. But are you running? I guess the point is, are you running out of people named Warren?
Well, I mean, it's getting a little slim.
How about Warren? How about next week, Warren Spahn?
Who the hell is that?
It was a
pitcher.
pitcher for the the Braves, Milwaukee Braves. So they used they used to say Spahn insane and pray for rain because they only had
two, Tom. That's a good idea. That's
two pitchers.
I'm gonna see if I can get
and his kids, of
that.
Course, were the Spahn of Spahn.
That's right.
That's right, Tom.
Which sounds like a superhero's nemesis. So we'll look forward to Warren Spahn next week.
Well, it takes a while to get these pictures.
You know, Greg, it was only a matter of time before Tom started telling you.
Yep.
Sorry.
Pretty soon he'll be writing your scripts for you.
What's today's topic?
Today's topic is the history of the potato chip.
Ah. Oh, I love this. Yeah. Never had one.
The story takes place.
Would anyone like to guess Tom Griswold's favorite brand and flavor of potato chip?
I know this.
It's
very, very, very
classic
very,
Lay's, I'd imagine.
Classic Lay's.
Yeah, with added salt.
And he likes to salt them. That's right.
Those are delicious.
You know, Chick, do you know who did the first commercial for Lay's?
I do.
And I can't remember the guy's name. Daggone it.
Bert Lahr.
That's right.
You want to take this, Pat? Bert Lahr did the first commercials for Lay's potato chip.
Pat, can you do a Bert Lahr impression?
Yes.
Talk me out of it.
Pat, do Bet You Can't Eat One as Bert Lahr.
Bet you can't eat just one.
that was the commercial. A lot of these potato chip companies sort of make light of overeating. It's a bet you can't eat just one. Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah.
All Pringles.
Jay's was can't stop eating them. The less popular, we're going to give you type 2 diabetes and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Oh yeah. That was a bold campaign.
Somebody protested, you know?
So the story, takes place in Saratoga Springs, New York. That's just about an hour or so outside of New York City near Albany. In 1853, there are two central characters, George Crumb. George was a cook at a place called Moon's Lake House, and Cornelius Vanderbilt. Now, he was, of course, a railroad and shipping mogul. Mm-hmm. His family, descendants are Gloria Vanderbilt, Anderson Cooper, Timothy Oliphant. And his nickname was the Commodore.
Oh, that's a good nickname.
Yeah, it's a great nickname. Several years later, he teamed up with Lionel Richie, Mylon Williams, Thomas McClary, and Ronald Lapree to form one of the greatest American
Are you
bands.
Sure about that?
The Vanderbilts.
Yeah.
Where's Walter Orange?
The Commodores.
Yeah, where's Walter Orange? Do your research. Walter Orange is in the Commodores.
Well, I wanted to leave some. I got it.
I'm confused. Cornelius Vanderbilt invented the potato chip? I thought.
No, what happened? Again, this is the story, Tom. Cornelius Vanderbilt was eating at Moon's Lake House, and he ordered some French fries, and they brought him steak fries, and he was like, no, make them thinner. I'm rich. I'm the Commodore. Make them thinner. Mm-hmm. So he sends them back, and Crumb is like, okay. So he cuts some new fries and fries them up, sends them out, and Vanderbilt is like, nope. Thinner. At this point, Crumb gets angry and is like, I'll show this guy.
Yeah.
And he slices the thinnest slice of potato he can slice, throws them in oil to try to make them as hard as he can, and oversalts them, sends them out, and Vanderbilt's like, yep, these are good.
I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that I hate steak fries, as Bob put it many years ago. Too much potato.
Sure.
Yeah, I disagree. I think they absolutely have their place.
Yes, in the wastebasket.
I do too, Josh.
I guess now, Mr. Vanderbilt and I win.
All right. You and Vandy have a lot in common.
Yeah. I would think you and the Commodore would have long, wistful conversations.
Maybe I should
remember when we used to own people.
Hell yeah! I should switch. Get one of those. Remember how toward the end of his life, Hugh Hefner always wore the Commodore cap?
Sure. It wasn't.
What's a Commodore?
It was a captain's hat. It wasn't necessarily a Commodore.
He promoted himself.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve. Back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
A couple more things about George Crumb. His real name was George Speck. There are two theories as to why he was called George Crumb. The first is his father was a horse jockey, and his horse jockey name was Crumb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know horse jockeys had stage names where it's like,
oh yeah,
hey Willie, how you doing? I told you, Fred, down here on the track, it's the lightning rod.
lightning. I'm sorry, man.
Yes, the lightning rod. Yeah, yeah. All right, the lightning rod. And then the other theory, and this is very Tom Griswoldian, they said Vanderbilt just couldn't think of his name, so he called him Crumb. And Crumb was like, all right, I'll just be Crumb.
That's how Chick was named, I can tell you that. All right, I'm Chick. Yeah, that's fine.
So here's the thing about all this stuff is none of it is probably true. This is the pervasive theory, but with some research, Vanderbilt was not in Saratoga Springs in 1853. He was in Europe that summer with his family.
Yeah.
And Crumb, in his obituary, they don't mention anything about potato chips. He was he was probably the first celebrity chef. He was known for making a really good brook trout and woodcock.
I love a fine,
you see the picture. He's got those those frosted tips on his hair.
He was the first to do that.
Wears his sunglasses. Sunglasses backwards in his neck. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Really cool guy too, huh?
Christy, when was the last time you had a nice helping of woodcock? Wrap your mouth around one of those.
Yeah, huh? Wrap your mouth around some that. Woodcock.
I could say something now that would be
splinters. You're not aware of those.
Yeah, you're not aware of my history.
Oh
boy.
That's a little closer to home than you think.
I see.
So who did invent the potato chips? So there's a lot of competing theory.
We're just glad it got invented. Thanks, Greg. You know.
Now, Greg.
That was the Warren Report.
Now, Greg, do you have the part coming up in your report about how this all ended up in court?
Oh, my Lord. Do you hear what he's doing now, Greg?
Oh, he's
producing.
Is he taking over my report?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Yeah. When Pringles came out, court ruled they cannot be called potato chips.
Yes, and it's hard for me to talk about this, Tom. There's probably some legal ramifications. As you know, I did sell Pringles.
That's
for
right. 10
right.
Years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
In 1975, the FDA ruled that they had to be called something made with potato, parts of potato.
Extruded.
It's an extrusion. It's an extrusion process.
Sure.
We borrowed some of the technology from Charmin. Which we also made.
Okay.
We did.
I'm sorry, Greg. Isn't that toilet paper,
yeah.
Greg? Charmin?
It is, Chick.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah. So now you're saying Pringles are like toilet paper?
No.
Not at all. That's exactly what Greg was trying to avoid.
Yeah, it's just, you know, see, guys, you're acting like children. Okay?
Did you expect something
once
more?
Again? Now, because I think a court ruled that they found out the origin of the potato chip, and they say there's a specific recipe and Pringles is something different. I'm a big fan.
Right, that's why they have to call them crisps.
Yep, that's
they have to call them potato chips made from dried potatoes, which is too long, so they call them crisps.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're wonderful. And
they're delicious.
They're fantastic. I sold them for 10 years. I was part of some pretty big stuff over there. One particular failure was I helped introduce fat-free Pringles with Alestra.
I can remember the ads.
Speaking of toilet paper,
do you remember the phrase they had to use in the ads, Chip?
Yes, anal leakage.
Yes, yeah. That's the phrase. The one. You don't want anal leakage in your commercial.
No, this guy from the Center of Science or whatever. He's a zealot, Tom. He's a zealot.
Yes, he is. Yeah,
sounds like a zealot.
So, what are the top potato chip brands, Chick?
Number one's got to be Lays. They're Titans. I'm going to go Lays. I'm going to go, oh, gosh.
You got to get some of the Eatos family in there. Doritos.
There's a lot of regional
Doritos. Chips. Yeah, not tortilla.
What?
Yeah. All of that is Frito-Lay.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say Ruffles.
That's Frito-Lay.
Oh, they have Ridges.
They're good.
That's number four, Josh.
You know, my favorite there, I like the kettle cooked. So I like a Crunchers and I like a...
Man. Josh, it's interesting you brought up Crunchers. I think Crunchers is one of the best chips out there. It's a regional chip.
Oh, it is.
R-U-N-C-H-E-R. It was originally introduced by Jay's, which is a chip company out of Chicago. They were bought up. Jay's started a guy named Leonard Japp, J-A-P-P, mm-hmm. and he had to change his name after Pearl Harbor because there was a lot of anti-Japanese sentiment. Yeah. A lot of that was going on back then. You know, Kraft mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Originally, Mussolini mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they went, hey, that's the best to...
And I'll tell you what, Hitler ham didn't have a prayer.
Exactly. Yeah. And Josh, you know that that character on Happy Days, Potsy?
Sure.
Yeah, he was Nazi.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah. A few places. I remember Altoids had to, they went with Altoids after the failed Ho Chi Minhs.
Wait a minute.
And even worse.
Oh, God.
No, here we go.
The Pol Pot.
This is a tightrope.
The Pol Pots had to, you know, Cambodia
one.
Thing.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Greg, I'm confused. The number one brand of potato chip or the number one flavor?
It's brand.
Okay, so Ruffles isn't in the because Ruffles is
no. That's actually that is a brand. It's not a flavor. It's Lay's is number one.
What about Mike Sells? They make a good chip.
What about Charles Chips?
Charles Chips.
Okay, so these are flavors.
Now Mike Sells. These are regional. It's a regional company. It's out of Dayton, Ohio. Now, Christy, Mike Sells is the oldest existing potato chip company.
Really?
1910, Dayton, Ohio.
Yep.
They were the second ever and the oldest existing, and that's a good chip. You talk about a kettle chip.
That is
Mike
a good
Sells
chip.
Kettle chip. A very good chip.
Greg,
but
do you know if Charles Chips were the only chips to be served in a can, or if other companies tried it?
They were in a can. I know for a long time they were served like in barrels in grocery stores.
Yeah. You'd
like scoop out the
chips.
Do
you prefer it in the can?
You prefer...
Don't listen to him.
No, I know. I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
I hear what he's saying.
He's got the gas leak.
Where is the fabulous Grippo's chip there anywhere? The Grippo's?
Grippo's, again, a regional chip out of Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
I'd say probably... Sorry.
Is there a Wise on that list from my area?
That's a Pennsylvania. Yeah. A lot of chips coming
What's
out of Pennsylvania.
What's number two on the list?
Pringles. Pringles is the number two brand. Wavy Lays, number three. Ruffles, number four. Private Label is number five.
Okay.
Then you get Lay's Kettle, Cape Cod, Utz.
Do we know when did someone get the idea of taking potato chips and dipping them?
What?
Do you know the first case of somebody
the way you the way you phrased that Greg. Question Greg. I thought you were going to enlighten us.
Greg looks so disappointed.
It's a fair question.
What?
It
made the paper.
Yes, Cornelius Vanderbilt's home last evening. They had potato chips with dip.
French onion.
See
dip.
Page six.
You think Winchell at one point talked about how somebody dipped a chip.
We had to start
Flash,
somewhere.
Mr. and Mrs. North America and all the ships at sea. Last night at the Vanderbilt compound, they dip chips.
Yes, Greg.
Chom, I can't tell you when the first flavored potato chip came out.
When was that?
That was 1954. They were plain until 1954.
May I guess the first flavor?
Guess.
Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
I would guess onion.
No.
Salt, onion?
Salt and vin?
Tom is closer. It was in the UK. It was in Ireland.
Oh, vinegar.
Ireland. Beer. Booze.
Mackerel.
Gin.
Is it mackerel?
Joe Spud Murphy over at Tato, he invented a process to season chips, and it was cheese and onion was the first.
Really?
And salt and vinegar came out right around the same time.
Oh, those are good.
So you guys were kind of right. Cheese and onion. Pringles, we tried a cheese and onion over here in the States. Failed miserably.
Were you?
That was when I tried. I tried to sell that with the old. They teach you those sales techniques. I tried the old assumptive close. Don't ask the guy if he wants it.
Yeah, how
ask
many?
Him when he wants it.
Yes,
Bob. Bob, these are the new Pringles, cheese and onion. Would you like these delivered on Monday or Friday? I don't want that crap on Monday or Friday. I don't like you. I don't like your company. I think I might get rid of the whole product line. You want me to do that on Monday or Friday?
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.